welcome to Stressless Radio, where it's all about stressing less and living more. I'm your host, JJ Fredrickson. Hello and welcome, listeners. Welcome, stress lessers. It is that time of week where we all take a little time to evaluate exactly where we need to stop stressing and start living, right? There's always areas of our life. We live on this earth. There's always going to be some stress, but we can look at our life and see what's really grabbing our goat this week and see where we can apply some techniques, apply some strategies, and find more space and more breathing room and more time to be yourself. So today I wanted to hit one of the topics. I'm feeling a little time crunch today, and I have to admit to you why. This would have been so embarrassing to me in recent years even, that I am heading off for a massage with my husband. Now, to me, you know, if I'm in my stressed out brain, that sounds super self-indulgent and like a dirty little secret. Like I shouldn't be telling anyone that I'm going to skip off in the middle of the day and go get a massage, right? Because I should be working. Work, 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 right? That's what it's all about. But that's not what I'm all about. I'm about living more. And today that includes a massage with my husband. So we're going to be leaving in a little while. So I'm feeling a little bit of a time crunch to get some certain things that I need to accomplish done today. So that means that I do have to evaluate. I do have to prioritize, which is fine. Can do that. But I also have to stay, I get to work on staying out of that frantic state of, oh my gosh, I'm running out of time. What am I going to do? I'm running out of time. So I wanted to first share one trick with you that I use and works very well for me. And then I wanted to talk about this fabulous article in Better Homes and Gardens. It's the September issue. So it's from last month, September 2012. And the article is called Off the Clock. And the little subtitle says, forget everything you know about time management. Experts say breaking these long-held rules can make you happier, less stressed, and believe it or not, more productive. So I want to share their strategies with you and give you my take, because I agree with most of what they said. A couple things I would tweak a little, and there's one thing that I don't necessarily agree with. But first of all, I want to give you one of my biggest tricks, and that's what I'm going to be doing today as I move through my day before I go to my massage, is I'm going, it started with this sort of, this idea of abundance. And I had a coach, I don't even remember who it was, or it even might have been multiple coaches, who told me to really practice the idea that you have all the time in the world. Whenever you start to feel like you're being pinched for time, think, you have all the time in the world, and sort of keep repeating that to yourself and believe it. Have faith that you have all the time in the world. Well, I love that idea and I used it, but then I actually tweaked it so it would work better for me. So some of you, that might be a great mantra on a tight day for you to practice, is I have all the time in the world. And it might also help you to do what I do, which is instead of saying that affirmation or mantra, I say, I am making time. Ooh. So that's even a little more active, right? I not only have all the time in the world, but I'm making time. I'm making time and space for everything that I need to do today, right? And what I've found is that when I put myself in that mindset of making time, is that I actually come up with strategies. My brain goes there and I come up with strategies to actually save more time. And again, I don't think saving time, you know, I'm saving time would be an effective mantra for me. It might work for you. But for me, it's I am making time. And I cannot believe how my brain works when I go into that groove. So that's what I'm going to be doing today. I am going to be making time. And as I've been emphasizing, especially the last couple weeks, the great thing about getting advice from an expert or a friend or a loved one is there might be some really major kernels of knowledge in there, but it's about adapting it to suit you, to suit your life. So I offer those two ideas to you, and and ask you to start playing with a mantra or an affirmation that's going to help you feel less stressed on those days when you seem to have a tighter deadline. And I'd love you to share them with me. Go to my Facebook page. Just search for JJ the Life Coach, and you can like me. And please share with me some mantras or affirmations you use regarding time. And you can also get to my Facebook page through my main website, jjthelifecoach.com, or through stresslessradio.com. You can find the Facebook like button and connect with me there. But I'd love to hear from you. Now, I'd love to move on to this article in, as I said, it's the September issue of Better Homes and Gardens. It's called Off the Clock. And if you hear me turning pages in the background, it's because I'm turning pages. I'm going to refer to this article and give you some of my input as well. So this is about forgetting everything you know about time management. And for me, this was a very timely topic. When I ran across it last month, I had just been talking to my brother-in-law and his fiance, and we were talking about just this type of thing, how some of us have actually gotten trapped by what the experts say we should be doing with our time and how we should be spending time and what we should do for time management. And so this article is about breaking free of some of those sort of steadfast rules our society has put into place for us on how we should be. And let me tell you, I've told you before, that word should is like poison. Do not live your life by shoulds. Live your life the way it works for you. Now, of course, we do have to follow some guidelines. Probably if your boss came and saw you napping at your desk because that's the way you're using your time, that might not work for you. Or maybe you should seek employment at a place where you can take a nap. You know, I don't know. But anyway, this is just going to allow you to stretch your mind and give you hopefully some permission to go with your own flow. So here we go. Here we go. I'm going to go through how many, I think they have five different rules they're going to be busting. So rule number one, let me count. 1, 2, 3. And is it only three? Maybe it's only three. Okay, so anyway, there are five. I missed a page. Five rules to break. So the rule number one is don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. That's right. This one is about procrastinating. Procrastinating. And I have to admit, there are times when I procrastinate. Sometimes it works for me, sometimes it doesn't. It's really important to be clear on what does work for you. But I want to talk about what Steve Prentice says in this article on this. Steve Prentice is a workplace productivity expert and CEO of consulting firm Bristol Morgan. So here's what he has to say. Some people do their best work when things are down to the wire. Okay? Now, my coach and mentor, Rhonda Britton, talked to me about this many years ago, how she's one of those people that actually thrives with procrastination. Her creative juices don't get going until it's getting to be the last minute. So she's learned to do that. And what's happened is that she hasn't beat herself up about it anymore. Before, she used to be saying, oh my gosh, I should be working on this. I should be working. Should. I should be getting this done. Now she realizes that she will do it near the deadline, and that's going to be her best work. So to make procrastination pay, this article says, shift your focus to easy projects while you spin your wheels. For example, if you're putting off planning a big meeting or a big fundraiser, try doing something a little easier like paying off your bills or paying your bills or cleaning out your closet. And Steve Prentice, this workplace productivity expert, says, you gain a sense of accomplishment and clear your head, leaving you better prepared to begin the bigger test. The bigger task. Okay? So it's not about just lying in bed and staying stuck. He suggests that you keep moving forward, keep your mind engaged, keep working on something, but something a little lighter. Something a little lighter. And for me, that's important. That tends to work for me. I need to be in some flow. I need to have some momentum. And if I don't have some momentum, really nothing will get done. So that works for me to keep momentum with a smaller project sometimes and wait a little bit to actually kick into gear for that big, big project. So that's what he says. He also recommends simply jotting down what needs to be done, which can make you more efficient when you actually start to do something. And I agree with that completely. And I want to add my little JJ the life coach extra with that. One thing I like to do is that I write down the task and I or the project that I'm procrastinating on, and I write down 5 action steps. And if it's a big step, like research the caveman brain, right? You could spend forever researching that. And what do I mean by researching that, right? Well, I'm going to break it down into 5 more tasks. So researching it might be checking out the amygdala specifically, Googling the amygdala. It might be looking at that book on research, brain research that I've been meaning to get to. Maybe it's researching the deep limbic system. Maybe it's looking through my research notes already. Or Googling scientists who've done brain research on stress. Okay, so there are 5 steps, and I'm going to break them down into the smallest step as possible. Now, this is just part of the planning process. You don't need to move forward on these yet, right? Procrastination might be your thing. It might work for you. It might be in your nature you do your best work with procrastinating. But by breaking it down into these little steps, then sometimes you can even knock off a couple of those really simple steps now and then hit those harder ones later. So it's about really knowing where you need to go. But I love what he says. It might be in your nature to procrastinate, so don't beat yourself up about it. And engage your brain in something else until you're ready to move forward on the biggies. So that's rule number 1. The second rule they say to break in this Better Homes and Garden article off the clock is that we Americans are multitasking machines, right? It turns out, however, that a study in the Journal of Experimental Psychology found that people who try to do 2 things at once take up to 50% longer to finish each task than folks who follow the one and done approach. And furthermore, Stanford University sociologist Clifford Nass, author of The Man Who Lied to His Laptop, his research team found that chronic multitaskers overall are more easily distracted and less likely to remember details than people whose habits are more focused. Okay, this is the rule that I don't necessarily believe in, or agree with. I have done some studying of different energy types. There's a fabulous website by Carol Tuttle, who I've talked about a couple times on this radio show, but she has a website called myenergyprofile.com, and I will link to that on stresslessradio.com, so if you want to check out that resource, it's fabulous. It's called, again, myenergyprofile.com by Carol Tuttle, and what's amazing, she used to sell this product for about $30. It is completely free now. There's no obligation. There is no giving your credit card. It is free. And it's a 6-part online course that helps you unleash your inner success and live true to your nature. Okay? Myenergyprofile.com. What she's done is she's broken people off. It's not a personality profiling type thing. It's energy. It's how you move, how energy moves through you and how you move through the world, how you transform that energy in the world. She basically breaks it down into 4 different energy types. And some, like 2 out of 4 of those energy types are very much multitaskers. Their brain pops with ideas, pop, 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 pop. And for them, it can be much more useful for them to do multitasking than to be chained to a project Okay, that because that is literally what it makes those people feel like, is that they are chained to something, and it's counterproductive. It actually drains their energy. So I encourage you to like take a look at that website. Like I said, find out where you lie. Now for me, I primarily have a slower energy. I'm slower to process things. My secondary energy is that more that popping one. Okay. So where I agree with this is, sometimes if I'm getting bogged down in details, which is very common for my energy type, my nature is to get bogged down in details, I have to kind of jump to my secondary and do some multitasking. I've also found that I work really well on a project for about 20 minutes. I get deeply enough into it, but then I'll get bogged down, and it's best for me to shift into something else. That said, this whole idea that we shouldn't be multitasking, that we should be doing one thing till we finish it. Yeah, there are times in my life when I practice that too. When my piles of papers get to be too much, when my to-do list gets to be too much, I know that it's time to just focus and finish. Focus and finish. So again, look at this rule to be broken and decide if it's right for you. Is multitasking really more productive for you or not? Or like me, are there times in your life when you have to focus and finish, or are there times in your life when you're going to get bogged down and you need to be a little more random? So that is number two. Now, there are three more rules. We are going through the Better Homes and Gardens September issue, their article Off the Clock. And we're going to finish up with the last three time management rules that you should be breaking or at least reevaluating. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back to that right after this.
Stress sucks, but with the Live Life Easy Stress Solution, you can get rid of up to 90% of your day-to-day stress. Expert life coach JJ Fredrickson teaches advanced stress-busting techniques that bring more energy, confidence, passion, purpose, and most of all, less stress. Stop being a stressed-out mess and start living life easy with the Live Life Easy Stress Solution DVD and workbook. On sale now at StressSolutionDVD.com. That's all one word. StressSolutionDVD.com.
You are listening to Positive Programming here on the Amazing Woman of Power Talk 24/7 Radio Network, powered by Raven International. I'm JJ Fredrickson, your host of Stressless Radio, where it's all about stressing less and living more. And oh my gosh, I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life when I've been very, very, very stressed by time and deadlines. There doesn't seem to be enough time, and I've got a deadline coming up and all this work to do, right? Time can be a big stressor. So what we're looking at today is a little bit of stress science. We are looking at the article from the September 2012 Better Homes and Gardens magazine. The article is entitled Off the Clock, and it's all about taking a look at these time management rules we've been given in the past and evaluating them to see if they really work for you. And I'm giving you some of my own life coaching tips in with this article, but I really encourage you to check out the article. Now, some magazines I've referred to in the past offer online article archives. I was not able to find this one on Better Homes and Gardens, so you might have to go to the library to check it out, or just listen to the rest of this broadcast and see where you fall in. So rule number three, the rule to break is to finish what you started. Now, we talked about this a little bit before the break, actually, when we were talking about whether you should multitask or not. This rule to break, finish what you started. Seth Godin says that giving up is not the same as failing. It's simply a change in strategy. So there are going to be some projects, some tasks where you decide that, you know, you're getting diminishing returns, really. It's not really worth your time and effort to continue forward. And he says, don't think of it as failing. Think of it as a shift of strategy. But he says it's not about being a quitter, right? He says specifically, the trick is discerning the difference between a snag and a dead end. So to do so, you look back at your efforts and evaluate whether you've made any progress, right? Are you getting those diminishing returns or are you still progressing? Now, this I want to elaborate a little bit. You know, I am a big fan of taking small steps. We talked about that a little bit earlier too, breaking those larger tasks into those five little bite, you know, little tiny bites and maybe breaking them into five more tiny little bites, right? Well, I'm a big fan of taking small steps, but the flip side of that is you have to be able to acknowledge your progress. You have to realize that when you're moving forward with small steps, you are still making progress, right? If we go into that black or white thinking, it's all or nothing. You're either success or failure, you finished or you failed, you know, you're a quitter. No, it's about saying, okay, am I still making gains? So the example in the book is about signing up for 3 months of tennis lessons. And you might feel some resistance to going every week because, you know, maybe you've never played tennis before. This was a new thing you're trying. But stop and take a look. Reflect. Have you actually improved? Has your backhand improved? Do you have a better understanding of the game? You know, are you making some sort of progress? So is it just a downslide in your attitude or is it that you aren't making progress? Maybe you're dreading every lesson because it's really become a waste of time. Maybe you're not improving, or maybe you thought you'd really love the game of tennis, and the more deeply you get into it, you're finding that it's just not for you. You'd rather be horseback riding, right? Well, maybe it's time to cut your losses and shift gears and do something else. So a rule to break, finish what you started. It's not always necessary, but check if you're making those small gains. Check if you're moving forward, if it's something you still want to do. If so, keep plugging along, small steps. If not, then maybe it's time to shift your focus. Rule number four to break. On hectic days, forget having fun. Right? Get down to business. It's brass tacks. You got to keep moving forward. You got to get to work, right? Well, this is almost like what I started with at the top of the hour, where I'm feeling a bit of a time crunch today. Actually, I'm saying that to clarify, but I get to make time today, right? Because I actually have a fun thing scheduled in the middle of my day. I have a massage, a couple's massage. My husband and I are going to go to the day spa and have massage. So they say that having fun is really important. So this is Brent Coker, a PhD marketing lecturer at Australia's University of Melbourne. He conducted a study and found that office workers who spent a few minutes here and there goofing off on the internet were 12% more productive overall than people who strenuously avoided those LOL cats, lol cat videos, okay? So he said specifically, quote, concentration levels wane after an hour or so, and a short break can help you rest. This is a little bit where I was talking about before, how I've noticed for me, generally speaking, I do things in about a 20-minute chunk, sometimes 20 to 30 minutes, that I really need to take a break. And a break might be, instead of doing work on my computer, it might be I'm going to go cook dinner, or it might be that I'm going to go lie down on the hammock outside. You never know what my break might be, but it works for me to chunk things up and take that break. And I find that I'm more productive when I do that. On occasion, I'll be deep in a project and I'm in the flow and I'll keep working beyond that 20 or 30 minutes and that's fine. But for the most part, I need to schedule in a little bit of a break, a little bit of something that's considered, you know, quote, more fun for me. The important thing there, this is my input as a life coach, is to set a boundary around the fun. So my boundary, if I'm going to go lay on the hammock and doze or read or daydream or do something completely unrelated to working, it's going to be, again, about a 20 to 30 minute break and I'm going to be done. And then I'm going to get back to work. And by doing so, I feel so much more recharged. I'm one of those people, I know you can't tell it by my broadcasting because my broadcasting brings out that bubbly, fun portion of me that I love about myself, but generally speaking, I can be too serious about things. So making sure to add some fun in the day is a huge thing for me. And like Dr. Coker said, it actually has been shown to increase productivity by 12%, but I encourage you to put a boundary on that. If you are on YouTube all day, that's probably not going to get you into that momentum I talked about earlier, right? You've got to put a limit on it, put a boundary on it. So we are down to the final rule to break. And in case you've just tuned in, I am looking at the Better Homes and Gardens September 2012 issue. They have an article called Off the Clock: Forget Everything You Know About Time Management, because experts say that breaking these long-held rules can make you happier, less stressed, hello, and believe it or not, more productive. So we're evaluating these rules, and I'm giving a little bit of my input. And the last rule to break is to stick to a schedule. Now, for some of us, in my past, it worked really well for me at times when I used to be a reporter. You know what, though? I still scheduled sort of some downtime in my day. I used to be a reporter, and I used to schedule my day in these chunks, and, you know, I had deadlines to meet, and it worked really well to keep to a timed schedule. They're saying allow for some flexibility, and honestly, I did. I naturally have a lull in the afternoon, and that would be my time. This is going to sound horrible, but that would be my time to work on obituaries and weddings. Now, those are major events in people's lives, so I don't want to sound like I wasn't putting my, you know, full focus and energy into it. But honestly, they're sort of a routine thing for us to do as reporters and filling that, you know, those pages of the paper. So I would schedule some flexible time. I wasn't going to be probably conducting an interview at that time that required more energy of me. So anyway, I still do this now, and now that I work from my home, I can be much more flexible with my schedule. Now, let's see what the experts say, and then I'll get into more about me. More about me. It says that following an agenda too closely can bog down your day. People who would, and we're back to Prentice, let me find his name, page. This is Steve Prentice, workplace productivity expert, who did studies on this. He says, quote, people who adhere to a strict itinerary can end up plugging away at a task, even if it takes much longer than they expected. It's smarter to play things by ear a little and adjust for the situation at hand. And he further goes to say, try to plan about 80% of your day and leave the remainder open for the unexpected. This helps control stress levels in general, which can help you in everything you do. And again, I really love that. I have the good fortune to be working from my home and be able to schedule a lot of flexibility. But basically what I do, I found this great app that I use called Daymap. And I'm not sure if that's just a Macintosh, you know, an Apple app, but I love it. It's how I organically did things. I will write things into a day or a week and not block them out. It's just kind of a to-do list. And with this Daymap application, I'm able to click and drag and move and just shift things around and be as flexible as I need to be in case, say, like today, a surprise massage comes up. So I'm able to, you know, have that flexibility in my day. So I hope that this has helped you to stress less about time. Really, just evaluate the way you're doing things. Are you doing things because you should when it comes to time management? Or are you doing things that really ultimately work with you, work with your nature, work with the way you flow? And are you allowing flexibility if something comes up in the day? Are you allowing yourself some fun? But what if some emergency comes up, you know, some big hot project? Are you allowing yourself some flexibility there? So ironically, we are almost out of time here on Stress Less Radio, but I encourage you to take some time this week to evaluate how you best use time, to break some of these rules, and to actually practice the belief that there's enough time and that you can make time. So thanks for listening. Stay tuned. We've got more great programming coming up here on the Amazing Woman of Power Talk 24/7 Radio Network. I'm JJ Fredrickson, and I will catch you later. Hey, Hey, it's JJ Fredrickson, also known as JJ the Life Coach. That's right, when I'm not doing Stressless Radio, I'm working with clients all over the world as a life coach. And I'd love to invite you to visit my website at jjthelifecoach.com. There, I've got all kinds of free life coaching tips along with blogs, videos, and articles. So when you're not listening to me on the Amazing Woman of Power Network, I'd love to have you drop by and see me at www.jjthelifecoach.com.